God is not, that he's alive. Little of the Son of Man that should we have he said and shall do it? Or have he spoken and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and yet blessing cannot reverse it. For God is not that he should lie, neither son of man that should reign. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and yet bless, and I cannot reverse it. For God is not that he should lie, neither son of man that should repent. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your promised word. Thank you, Lord, for thy word, O Lord, that you send forth to us to bless us, Lord. And all that you have said, Father, you cannot reverse it. For you are not a man that you should lie, neither the Son of Man, neither a human, that all that you have said, Lord, that you should repent of what you have said. And all the word that came out from thy mouth, Lord, men shall live by it, and men shall be blessed by it, O Lord. And to know, Lord, you keep your word because thou art faithful to your own word, for you draw in your own word, Father. So this morning, Lord, we thank you for life. Life eternal in Christ Jesus, life in this physical. What a gift, Father, that we can breathe a life, that we can live. Even in all this condition that is in the world today, that pandemic, Lord, and this disease that is upon the world, and all that global warming where the destructions are, oh Father, flooding, oh Lord, famine, droughts, and all that, that have come upon the world this time, Lord. We know we are living the day that the Bible speaks about in the book of Matthew 24. But Father, Lord, life goes on. And your people, Lord, we're not citizens of this world. We're just merely passing through. And Lord, we experience what life is, and we see what life, you know, is all about, and what the devils are doing. And we know that, Lord, you are still in control of the life of your people. So, Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning now and approaching thy word, help us, Lord, and bring down the word of life, and that we can see golden nugget, the treasure of thy word, and the very passing day, Father. So now bless thy people, Father. Bless thy children all over the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Well, I go to the book of Galatians now. My our message is still on the series of zealous devotion. And my subtitle that I've given is Faith versus Righteousness. I think it should be Faith and Righteousness. But I wanted to entitle it The Faith of Abraham. But when I say the faith of Abraham, people say, oh, I know about it. Really, I know you know about the faith of Abraham. We're going to look into it and understand a little more about what Paul is talking about when he talks about the faith of Abraham. Because if we say that we are Christian and we are devoted to the Word of God, devoted to Christ, to what you have given us, then we need to understand a bit more. And all that which you are going to read through Galatians chapter 3, many of us say, well, we know that. I really know that. I've read that. I've understood that. But let us examine a little deeper for some of the treasure that you might have overlooked. All right? And even this whole chapter, it takes me days to just underline, to look into deeper in us. The Lord to break it down, to understand some of the things there. All right, so we are going to look into it. All right, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, this epistle of Paul to the saints in Galatia. Because, as you said, we know what happened out there. We have this those who are in the faith of Judaism, they were converted, or so as it appears to be, that they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and converted to the gospel. But yet, they are actually going around telling those who are Gentile to be circumcised and about the law and so on and so forth. So, some of these, Galatia is a big place and the saints are scattered out there. When Paul says, oh, foolish Galatian, it doesn't mean all of those Christians in Galatia. Alright, not all of them apparently, but a lot of believers were affected by, this false doctrine that came around. And this Judaized Christian, they are very, very devoted to the law or to the of Moses, and in their own understanding, and they still hold to it so strongly, and yet embracing the gospel of Christ. So when they went around telling the Christian in Galatia to be circumcised, they are actually missing the mark. So we want to elect. So when Paul said, oh foolish Galatian, who have bewitched you? So I want to understand the word bewitched here. Now the word bewitched here is not the same as, when you think about bewitched as in the sense of witchcraft, the sort of witchery, or anything associated with sorcery, but it is not. Because if you remember what happened in, I can't remember which, but it was, I think in Samaria. Yeah, there's in Samaria, we have this Simon the sorcerer, when he went around bewitching the people. Okay, that's a different word for bewitch. They bewitch them with sorcery, which is of course more like some kind of magic, some kind of thing that, witch people, those who are in witch, a witch or a wizard who are practicing witchcraft. So it sort of astonished the people. It created, a sense of wonderment when people see him perform all that. So that is actually sorcery, witchcraft, some kind of a magical spell, magic thing that he was doing. But here it is not. The word bewitch here is different. Okay? And it is, the word bewitch comes from the Greek word maskehinio, which actually means to malign a false presentation of the Word of God. Okay, so if we have false teacher coming around, and you don't know that they are false teacher and they teach you something, they take the Bible and they interpret it and they malign the word, as you said, misinterpret the word, malign the word. So they don't present it correctly. It's a false representation, false interpretation of the word. So they were bewitched by such expound. Now we know into the Christian world today, look at the charismatic, look at the Pentecostal. You see, a brother I was talking to last evening, talk about a certain preacher, I can't remember the name now, whose mother was always looking at all this on YouTube. And he was watching this video of this preacher, and all he wanted was to tell the people to provide the money, I don't know how many millions, so that he could have a jet plane. And in America, a lot of television evangelists, the charismatic, many of them actually own mansion. You all know that. Huh? They are very rich. And they have jet plane. You think about it. You see? I remember when Brother Abraham said about that, I will write this trail again, a visions or dream of a brother and Brother Abraham. you know, was told to Brother Branham about this. I will write this straight again. So people interpret this dream of this brother and said, oh, Brother Branham is going to resurrect. And he's gone around the world for about 40 days, you know, preaching the gospel in the last part before the resurrection. And what did they do? They bought a plane. You know, they bought a plane waiting for Brother Branham to rise up from the grave so that he could go around the world and minister the word. So you see this mentality of this extremist buying a plane. Now, Brother Branham died in 65 and the plane is out there, you know, getting wasted away. You know, you see people's so-called revelation bewitching people with false understanding. And that's what Paul is saying here. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, who have given you all this false interpretation and you accept them to be true. Because sometimes when people use the Bible and they present it, we'll just take for example, they give you the Pentecost, you need to speak in tongues or else you do not have the Holy Ghost baptism, right? So that is, and people are bewitched. And when I was in the examples of God, I was bewitched by that doctrine. You see, and today, they even the Trinity, they talk about the Trinity. If you don't believe in the Trinity, then you are not a Christian, not a true Christian, not a true believer of the Bible, or the Gospel of Christ. You see, so, but this is a very, in the days of Paul, this is bringing in the law. Okay? So the third Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eye Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You have been taught the gospel, how that he came. We have set the whole thing before you about the ministry of Christ, where he came and how he died and crucified for you. And we have shown you that. Verse 2, this only will I learn of you. Now I want to learn from you. I want you to tell me. Okay? Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of it. So now, foolish Galatians, I want to learn from you. I want to hear from you. I want your answer. Do you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of it? Simple question Paul is asking. So just imagine if you were back in those days out there in Galatia and you have been, you know, bewitched by all this strange doctrine like this, and Paul come around and ask you. So if you need to be circumcised, it means to say that you are receiving the Holy Spirit by the working of the law. And that is what those Judaizite Christians were telling the people in Galatia. And I want you to remember this in verse 2. By the hearing of faith. It didn't, Paul did not say, do you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by faith? Now, Paul is very specific to make them understand. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. No other way. You see? Actually, no, why has the, you know, as epistles, as the words written, that in the days of Jesus Christ, or even before Jesus Christ, or, and after Christ passed and resurrected and ascended to heaven, the books of the law were opened and read in the synagogue every Sabbath day, and yet the people do not understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may read, the, you know, when Jesus Christ, after he was baptized, he went to the synagogue and he opened up the book of Isaiah. Is that right? You remember? And he read it. He read the portion that pertained to his ministry. And then he expounded, actually. This day the scripture is revealed. You see? And you know one thing? People can read the scripture however you like. you know, whichever book you like, you want to study character or this, you know. But you see, the thing is that you need an exposition. As it was in the day when the second temple was built, Ezra opened the book before the people and everybody stood up and he read the book and he expounded. So that's why it's not the reading of the word, it's the hearing of the word. You see? Oh, then people would be asking. I remember several times when I talked to some of these out there, telling them about the hearing of the word. Then, you know, they don't like what I say. Oh, so, oh, you're saying, brother, again, that my reading of the Bible, my studying the Bible, I will not understand it. And you read the Bible, you understand. You see, the problem is that there are people need to understand and recognize gifts. Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, Paul said he ascended on high and give gifts unto men, right? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for this, for the working of the body of Christ and edifying the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, and so on and so forth. So, why can't we accept that? Why can't we understand that God has gift in the church? You see, people don't recognize gift because they are blind to it, because they have their own opinion, their tradition. Out there in the world, you know, on Facebook. Remember I told you how that, you know, I was in the Facebook and then I don't know what to do with it, and so I just delete everything and get off Facebook. And then somehow, I don't know, you know, trying to buy something on Carousel, he asked me to sign to Facebook. So I signed to Facebook and come and say, hey, still there, you know, whether you want to bring it up and so forth. Well, okay, then I come back on Facebook. And you, what happened after I put on Facebook? Come on Facebook, yeah, I put some of the, you know, the message. And people start commenting on it. And I have a lot of those that attack me in one sense of the word. And there are those that say, hey, look, that is the truth. You know, and in fact, I got WhatsApp. I got email. I said, Brigham, you have been a blessing to us. You know, we won't be here today, standing on the wood, if it wasn't for you. I was caught up in Branhamism until I heard you. And I said, okay, there's something here. And you know, that is very true. People need to understand. And people like, you know, Brother Nice, how that God dealt with him and saw this ministry here. And now, his ministry has grown. And we have sent out the books out there. You know, I thank God. Not because it's my ability that bring out all this. No, it is God that called me. And as Bob Brown would say, I have nothing to do with the gifts. He calls me, he has put in me to do it, I do it. But you know, there are people who do not recognize the gift. It is because they have been, like the foolish Galatians, brainwashed, bewitched, you know, misinformed, misinterpret the word to their own damnation. Alright, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want you to really understand the importance of that. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Oh, that's why I said this. We are Christians, we are believers. You know, don't think that because you are in God's service, you do something for God, you sacrifice something for God, that has anything to do with you being some special person and that you deserve some salvation. No. You see? So don't think your flesh has anything to do with it. Remember it. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be in vain. So, you have gone through being a Christian, you know, you have left the things of the world, and now you have to go and keep this law as if that only this law will be part of this gospel. So, that means all that you have been as a Christian all this life is in vain. You know, that's why I said that many Christians out there, you know, they can be Christian for 20 years. And then after that, they go into the world. So, what happened? apparently they did not get the Spirit. They did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If they have, they will maintain the walk. Do you see? Verse 5. And verse 5 to 7. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, do he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now this passage of scripture, I want to expound a little bit on this. Because I really want you to know that there is a difference between faith and righteousness. Okay, look at the word in verse 6. Alright, because in verse 5, Paul is talking about the hearing of faith. The question is there. So it has something to do with the hearing, alright, and having the faith. Okay, now verse 6 says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of God. So there are three words I want you to look carefully. Accounted, righteousness, and faith. So what is the word here, accounted to him? Now, there is something here because, you know, when you do a translation, as I said many times, from Hebrew to English, whatever language, or Greek to English, and whatever language, there will be sometimes nuances and the subtlety of the words of Hebrew and Greek will be lost. So I want you to look at it. The word accounted came from the Greek word, which is very strangely, perhaps most of us do not know. The Greek word for the word accounted is logizomai. Logizomai, hear the word logizomai, lo. Logizomai is from the word, middle voice word of logos. So there is a play of, you know, both sides. A middle voice from the word logos. So, you see what Paul is saying. Even Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That means to say that it was reckoned unto him, he was considered, okay, as righteous. What made God say that to Abraham? Or that God imputed upon Abraham righteousness? Paul had this revelation that Abraham, when he heard God, whatever God told him, remember the covenant, there was this revelation. See the word logos, logizomai, accounted to him because he heard the word of God, he heard the voice of God, there was this covenant that God made with him. He had the revelation because it was revealed to him. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So now, faith. The third word here is faith. They which are of faith, the same are the children of God. So faith. So what is faith? Now, in any discussion, you will say, or the Christian people say, I have faith in Christ. I have faith. Many people have faith in Christ, but they don't have the righteousness that go with that faith. So the favor of Abraham is actually a favor of righteousness that was imputed upon him. Are you getting me? People can say, I have faith. But do you have the revelation? If you don't have that revelation, then it cannot be accounted to you for righteousness. So there you have faith, you have righteousness. Many people have faith, but they don't have righteousness. Do you understand? But if you really have the true faith of Abraham, and you have the revelation of what God promised you, of what God said. Remember, God is not a man that he should lie. And if you understand what he said, and you have the revelation of it, think. And I want you to think about this when God promised Abraham a son. And later on, God asked him to sacrifice Isaac, right? Correct. So, you think about it. That's why Abraham had that revelation. That's why somebody was counted to him for righteousness, because he believed God and God tested him. It proves it. So I wonder how many of us Christians really, how many of us believers understand that. So if we have now, look in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Now he's talking about the faith of Abraham. Because the whole of this, Paul is talking about the faith relating to Abraham. Alright, not just a faith in the gospel, a faith in the Jew died for you, yeah, but it is traced by all to the father of the faith. And so I said, well, Abraham is my father. And if you say, oh, I believe in Jesus, he died for me. Well, you know one thing, you need to have a real understanding. People say, yeah, I go to the altar, accept Jesus Christ. Yeah, he is Christian for 5 to 10 years, oh, very well, 20 years. After that, he left and goes back to the world. Do you see the thing about that? Okay, now, let's go. He said that if you have the faith that of Abraham, then you, the same, are the children of Abraham. So if we have the faith, the same faith of Abraham, then we are Abraham's children. Huh? Remember, Abraham had many, many children. Okay? Abraham does not have a grandchildren. He's all children. So let us go to the book of Romans chapter 4. Verse 19 to 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 25. Alright. So how can you read it? If you can. Romans chapter 4, 19 to 25.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Right, okay. You know what justification is and what, you know? Being justified means as if I have not sinned. Now, here is what Paul, in the book of Romans that he wrote. And that's why I say, if you read all the epistles of Paul, there is always the consistency. Alright? And the deeper thought branch off from a main subject. And then when he branch off from a main subject, and he expound on that branch, and he find that there are deeper things in there. You know? So he just continue bringing out the truth. So now, in this passage of Romans, you see how Paul was thinking about Abraham and talking about the faith of Abraham. And I want you to look at this passage carefully, because I emphasize some main words. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith. Now think about that, his body was already dead, I mean, as an old man, you know. Yeah, correct? As an old man. And Sarah, yeah, Sarah's womb is already, there's nothing left. It's dried up, there's no egg anymore in there. Everything's dried up. Just think about it. Huh? But yeah, he's not weak in faith. Because he had the revelation that God said so, and he believed in it. And that's a point to say, he staggered not Now, in this condition in the world today, right now, this COVID issue, this virus issue, do you claim the promise of the Lord that God will be done in your life and live the life that you should live? Or you stagger a moment and say, oh, I don't know, I'm fearful, this and that. Huh? I understand you want to prevent. I was saying, I don't remember whether I've said this or not, but when I was with my grandson, Adam, we were sitting in the bus at the back, and in the next few stops came up an elderly woman. I mean, she's elderly. She's late 70 at least, and kind of small size. Came out with four masks on her, you know, covering her. Four masks. Alright? And she wore this disposable glove in her hand. She came up and she sat in front of the seat there. She came all the back. And she, in her hand, she has a bottle of disinfectant spray. And the man was looking at her. Adam Tassim was just kind of looking at her. But nobody, you know, people would understand. I understand. She got to the seat in front of me, and the aircon van was on the side of the bus. He took that disinfectant spray and started spraying on it. And she sat down. I understand that she taking precaution. I wouldn't say that she has fear. Because she probably has, being that age, frail looking, probably has other health conditions. Whether she's vaccinated or not, I have no idea. But she's taking precaution. Four layer masks. Even today I have seen people on, you know, in the mall on the street wearing two masks. Young men only wearing two masks. Yeah, they are taking precaution. Good. Do you understand? You see, but here is the point. Paul is saying that that Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God to any unbelief or doubt. The moment you have doubt and you start to think, you start to stagger, you go into a state of unbelief. You see, but yet he said, Paul said, he was strong in faith, giving glory to the Lord. He said, okay, Father in heaven, oh Yahweh, you promised it. Now I'm dried up. My wife's womb is dried up. Yet he continued to glorify God. Because God promised to him, when God called him up and promised him at the age of 75, make a covenant with him. 1 year after another, you just think about it, huh? Now, we have been in this message, now this is the year 2021. Right, in the days of brother Abraham having that vision, where he says, based on this revelation, I predict that everything will be over by the year 1977. You remember? So everybody at that time were, many were expecting Christ to come back. And then there are even those who are so, well, according to their revelation, so called. Because I have talked to about two of them or three of them. One came to Singapore and told me that. And I can't remember, it was 1975, 76 he came. And he told me about it again. 1977. Everything will be over. Rapture will be taken place. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, Brother Abraham said so. I said, okay, let me give you a scenario. So that today, we are in the year 1977, and we are in the year in December 30th. And Christ is going to come. So tomorrow is 31st, will be the last day Christ must come, right? He said, yes! It was very positive. I said, are you sure? He said, yes! The prophet said so. Well, you know, after the year came and passed, and he wrote me, he said, yeah, I thought that it was supposed to be. You see, the problem is, I told him, Brother Abraham said, I predict. It was never a test of the Lord, but Lord Branham, I said, when Brother Abraham predict, it means prophesy. It's the same. And in fact, not many of those have realized that make a big, big boo-boo. You see. Okay, 77, gone. Then the year passed by, and then you have, oh, there are people that set dates about the coming of the Lord in 1990-something and so on. And then, oh, we're coming to the year 2000. Oh, you know, this change of whatever the year, what did they call that?
Millennium.
Oh, the millennium, huh? Yeah, Y2K, yes. You know, everything will, something will go wrong with all this computer and the internet and everything because the switchover and blah, blah, blah. So they expect Christ to come. Well, now it has been 20 years past 2000 already. So we are 2021. Oh, Brother Gang, when is Christ coming? When is Christ coming? All I can tell you, He's coming, He's very near, He's right at the door. He's outside. We are always expecting Christ to come and we must be ready. You may hear a knock at the door. Well, you have to open it. But are we ready to be able to hear that when the last trump sound? That is the thing about it. How you talk about faith? When we talk about faith, don't talk about fear. Don't have any doubt. Is Christ coming back? Is the rapture going to take place? Yes, I know it will take place. When, Brother Gunn? I don't know. There are some that have predicted. I know some believe have predicted. You know, they make mess. Christ is coming, don't get married. Don't get married. My son, don't get married. My daughter, Christ is coming. Yeah, I know Christ is coming, so what does that mean? Oh, Christ is coming, don't work. Don't work. How much you have in your bank? Half a million? Don't work. Go and enjoy yourself. Because Christ may be coming next year or 2 years. Just enjoy yourself. You know what? Life goes on. As even Brother make a simple illustration, which I love. You know, He's coming, yes. But when He comes, you just continue working. If you plant potato, plant potato. Right? So when He comes, He still plant potato. If you work out there, then work. So when Christ comes, He's still working out there. So we don't say Christ is coming, we sit at home and wait. Oh my. You know, when Jesus told the disciple, before He left, He says, tarry you in Jerusalem, right? He said, did He not use the word tarry in Jerusalem? Until you receive power from on high. What does He mean by tarry? Sit and do nothing. Is it? And some interpretations said, oh, that for the 40th day while they were waiting, they were all praying up and really? Jesus did not tell them it was to be 40 days, 30 days, or 100 days. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem doesn't mean to sit and do nothing or just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. No. Peter went out fishing because he needed the money to buy other foodstuff. Buy other necessity. Correct? Are you following me? Tarry doesn't mean that you just do something outside of the ordinary. Do your work. As I said, this one day you are in a bus, somebody gets up from the next bus stop and he comes up to you and speaks something and then you find something is happening. You are not. Because if this, what we see in the Bible, something that has been done, yeah, God will do it again. I like it when there were these two disciples on the way to Emmaus, remember? Huh? And then here a stranger came and joined them. What are you talking about? Oh, did you hear about Jesus of Nazareth and the thing that happened? They didn't even recognize Jesus Christ. It's a stranger. They didn't even recognize Him. You think about it. Why? Because there was a veil. And it was not yet revealed to them. They were talking about this, yes. Until when they were sitting at supper, Jesus took the bread and He broke it. The breaking of the bread. Remember? Then their eyes were open. Alright. So you want to talk about Revelation? Break the word of life. Oh Lord, to us. That's how important that is. So now, they say Abraham. Now in those days, Abraham, he did not have the Bible. There was no scripture. It wasn't. He was a special man that God spoke to him. And let's continue in verse 21, Romans 4, 21. And he said, and being fully persuaded, Paul did not just say, and being persuaded. And he emphasized the word fully persuaded. Yeah, we are persuaded about certain things, but let us be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And so we live the way we live, you know. You know, some people say, I have faith, you know, but again, I have faith. And they act foolishly. Let's say this. If you read the Bible that God provides our every need, you believe that? And the Bible said that the God sent the raven to feed Elijah, right? Right? Okay, so let's all stay at home and ask the Lord to send manna from heaven, the crow went out there to feed us. Huh? And it's not like that. Faith is not faith, as James said. Show me your faith and I'll show you my faith with my work. So you talk about being zealous for truth. Don't act foolishly. And so now Paul and Abraham, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. It was reckoned to him for righteousness. Wow. You know, the word said it was imputed for righteousness. You see, that is the faith of Abraham. It is not just saying, hey, I believe in Jesus. Do you understand now? It is real revelation, a faith that he can see and know. You know, I don't want to mention the name, but on WhatsApp chat and what a talk on chat. You know, I have traveled to Africa in the 90s. And some of these believers that I met, they appear to be very strong. Where are they today? In chatting with some of the believers and texting, they told me they are no longer around. They are somewhere else doing their own thing. What happened to these people? Huh? And the one pastor that had invited me to his convention to preach, and there was this Canadian minister there too. My, what happened to them? The pastor in Nigeria, the one, he turned himself into being a politics. And he was openly, you know, the church knew that he was fornicating. There was a morality in him. And yet they still hold him as a pastor. And then, he died. You know, when I first looked at him and I met him, I said, oh my, this guy looked like Charlie Pride. A singer, handsome looking African man. You know. But he took side with the Brahmanism and attacked me. And then, you know, that's why I said, Brahman said it's true. The devil feeds on doctrine, false doctrine. We who are children of God, we feed on true doctrine. That's what Paul do not is warning this Galatian not to be deceived, not to be bewitched by false doctrine. Because once you're getting false doctrine, getting all this, you know, what we all call man interpretation of something that is not in the Bible. You know, the devil feeds on this false doctrine. We are feeding on true doctrine of the Word of God. If we don't, something is going to happen to us. You see. All right. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. It was not written for his sake alone. It was written, of course, in the book of Genesis 15:6. You want to look into it anyway. We are in no hurry because we're looking at the word. Matthew 15:6. Oh, Genesis, I'm so sorry. Genesis 15:6. And the Bible here said, you know, and it was written here, and God, and I mean Abraham believed in Yahweh. And God counted it to him for righteousness. Huh? So it was written here, not for his sake alone. Nothing to do with about it is, you know, that he was put out to him, but, verse 24, but for us also. So whatever the Bible, whatever is written, concerning Abraham, concerning Sarah, concerning Elijah, concerning David, Solomon, Peter, Paul, everything that's recorded in the Bible is not for their sake alone. It's all for us too. Or, you know, I said this many times, just imagine, you probably would like to have your name in the Bible, right? Literally, your name, literally. So everybody can read, Jordan Gunn, you know, believe in the Lord, did the Lord, good work for the Lord, blah, 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 and all this. We would like to have it. Sure, you know, good things said about us. But suddenly he finds, Jonah finds his name there saying, oh, he committed terrible, terrible things. And of course we find, but they were written for us. So that we can look at the scripture, look at what happened to this man of God. What they went through, the ups and the downs. God is being fair. He doesn't talk about all the good things about all the saints of God, right? Because if God wrote all about the good things about, you know, don't write anything about David's sin. Or Elijah's weakness. Don't. Talk about all the good things. Wow. Then in our days when we read the Bible, how can we be like that? This man is super Christian, super saint, right? There don't seem to be any mistake. There's no record of them making any mistake. Right? But yet in the promise that God gave to Abraham, Abraham still made mistake. Right? Oh, after all these years from age of 75, waiting, and Sarah said, look her husband, look, I'm getting dried up. How can we have children? Are you sure you hear from God? Did you really hear his voice? You know what I mean? You see, God is dealing, as I said, God is was dealing with Abraham. He wasn't dealing with Sarai until the last moment. Then Sarai need to hear the word. When he spoke to Abraham, next year this season, Sarah would have a child. You know, all this have been waiting. Are you kidding me? Now that I'm dried up, how can I have a child? So you just imagine waiting all these years. But before that, of course, you know, Abraham succumbed to the pleading of Sarah. So conceive Ishmael through the born woman, Hagar. So those are the mystery. So everything was recorded, not because just Abraham believed in God and all that, but also God shows the weakness of the man. So if any of us, if we make mistakes, we cannot be humble, we don't humble ourselves, something is very wrong with us. Huh? As much as Peter was bold with what he, with the gospel that God had given him. And he, in a moment of weakness, he went and played the hypocrite. When he played the hypocrite, Paul saw it. Now, what happened if Paul did not see it? Peter will continue. You know? So, all things works together for them to, for them, for good to them to love the Lord. So it happened at the moment God had Paul being there in Antioch and saw Peter did all these things. And he rebuked Peter. A big man! Big man or not big man. Paul said, I don't count them. How big they are. It's the truth. Big men must understand and learn to humble themselves. And that is the thing about it. Alright? Verse 8 of chapter 3. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now remember, faith is a substance, right? Alright, not just simply the faith that we talk about. Faith. The substance, what substance do you have? Okay. let me read that again. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, which is spoken word, remember that. Alright, not just faith, but the faith of Abraham, the word that was spoken to him to begin with, Paul is dealing with that. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So there was the promise. In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So the gospel was already preached before. Before the gospel, what is it? Before the gospel of Christ came into being and preached to the world, Abraham already had that understanding because God was dealing with him. Abraham was the father of our faith. So when God made the covenant with him, Abraham was able to see something. Because God told him, in this all nations of the world be blessed. So he is seeing something. A good news that is going to come later. That's why the Bible uses the word gospel means good news. So verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Faithful Abraham. Those which are of faith. The faith of Abraham. The same kind of faith of Abraham. Remember, I already told you that there's a difference between faith and righteousness. It was the faith of Abraham, the faith of Abraham that believed God, who had the revelation, because, you know, it was accounted to him because the revelation was revealed to him, he understood it. So he was imputed righteousness. Now, the same with us. If we say that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, now we need to have the revelation or the faith of the whole thing that God did in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, because Abraham saw it. Abraham saw what God said. In this shall all nations be blessed. That means God is doing something. God is sending the gospel, some good news. Abraham heard it because God said it. In thee shall all nations be blessed. In what way? Because Abraham knew about the fall, that he was a sinner. And the soul of the sinner it shall die. He knew all that. So when he saw what God was giving to him, and he caught the revelation. So, here we said that we believe, we have faith. Do we have the same faith of Abraham? Traced back to what he was taught, what God showed him. And he said that we believe in Christ. Do you really believe in Christ? And who is Christ? Okay, let us go on. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curse is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So as many, as not Paul talking about this foolish Galatian. So it says that if you are of the works of the law, then you must continue in doing the works of the law, or you'll be cursed. Because Paul quote this verse, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that is from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Do you see? So Paul is telling them, you want to do the law, you want to be circumcised, and you think that circumcised, this work of the law that you have taken upon yourself, you think that is part of the gospel? It isn't. Because if you do that, if you consider that is important, then you have to keep all the law, or you'll be cursed. Verse 11 onwards. But that no man is justified in the law, in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now the word here, in verse 11 in the King James, as I said, many times it is not, it has been a mistake in many verses. But that no man is justified by, you see the by, it should never be the word by. It should be in. Alright, as in the book of Hebrew, where Paul says about, you know, how the God spoke in the prophet, I have spoken to us in Christ. So the word should be in. Okay? For as many as are, over verse 11, but that no man is justified in the law. So if you are in the law, not by the law, you are in the law. Now the question is, if you are in the law, you cannot be in Christ. Are you got it? Simple, right? If you are in the law, you are not in Christ. So the Bible said in Matthew or somewhere, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon, right? Correct? Yeah. And we are not in this world. We're just passing through. So we can only be in one place at one time. Am I not right? Are you in Christ or are you in the world? Are you in the Word of God? Are you in Abrahamism? Are you in the courts of Abraham or are you in the verses of Scripture? You can have both. But then no man is justified in the law of God, in the law of God, in the Son of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And this is quoted as Paul is quoting. You know, in those days, Paul don't carry the Old Testament with him. Because how many books are there in the Old Testament? Huh? Come on, how many books are there in the Old Testament? 39. You know, there's so many books there. I mean, they're all scrolled. They're not like this that we have today. Or even in your, people having on the computer, or even in the handphone that you can read. In those of Paul, being that of course he was called and he studied and he has all the scripture in mind. He remembers them, he remembers some of this. And he was able to quote the important. So the just shall live by faith was quoted from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So the law is not a faith, because if you are in the law, you cannot be in faith. So if you are in the law, then you must do the law and live it. Can anybody live the law? Can anybody who is in the law live the law? Come on! Not possible. Huh? Thou shalt not kill! People think that you just kill. How do you say now? When you look at somebody with daggers in your eye. You already came. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What is that? Jesus said, no, it's not just that. See, when you look at a woman and lust after a woman, you commit it already in your heart. Huh? See, that's the thing about living. When you're on the law, you can never be in faith. Alright, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being make a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hang upon a tree. So let us go to the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 7. Alright, Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. Now I want you to compare these two verses here. Galatians 3, 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hang upon the tree. Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. I am very confused. Here in Psalms, it says the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. How is therefore that the, you know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? If the law is perfect, why need we be redeemed from the curse of the law? Now, here is something that we need to understand. When we come to the scripture, be within the context. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments or the tablet of stones. Do you understand? The law of the Lord is perfect. He's talking about the law of the Word of God that is spoken, not the law of Moses. Don't take the law of Moses and Ten Commandments and say, well, that's perfect and we live by this. Yeah, we know that it is not, because the law of the Lord is talking about what God revealed. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The law then opens the commandment of the Ten Commandments. When you read it, it tells, you know, the condition of humankind, that we are fallen creatures. You understand? All right. So Christ, the law cannot deliver us. So Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. The law says, thou shalt not kill, we did it. There is one God, and we should love the Lord with all our heart. We don't do it. So the law then is teaching us the condition. And our standing before God, we are sinners. So Christ came to identify with us. Take all this law and fulfill it when he hang upon the cross. Alright, now verse 10, back to Galatians. Okay. Back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulled or add thereto. So now, Paul here is saying, from what Paul is writing here to this Galatians, these Gentiles, he wants them to know what Christ did through Abraham into the future, when he promised Abraham, a made covenant with Abraham. God was looking into the future and showed Abraham, and Abraham saw what was to happen. That there will be this gospel, there will be Christ that will come and redeem even the Gentile, that the blessing of Abraham will fall upon the Gentile through Jesus Christ. And therefore we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the spoken word. Alright. And 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man. Sometimes this verse can be a lot of confusion. Paul is saying, well, you know, I speak what normally, you know, how we human say that if a man make a covenant, you know, and it's confirmed by two parties, so therefore no man can annul or add thereunto it. That means when you make a covenant, you make a vow or a promise, you cannot break it. You know. That's why, you know, when you make a promise to somebody, you better keep that promise. Verse 16 to 18. And we'll close with this part. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. I want you to see the word. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that he should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gives to Abraham by the promise. Okay, look. To pray to Abraham and to his seed. S-E-E-D. What do you mean by seed? What do we understand by the word seed? To Abraham and his seed, what does it mean? Does it mean Isaac? You know, you see, when you use the word seed, singular. Seed, then. What actually, in the translation, is not so easy to put it into English. It means that to Abraham and his descendants, you understand? His seed. So we all Abraham's seed, isn't that right? So when we say Abraham and his seed, you're talking about his descendant. But yet it's you as singular. Interesting the way the Paul talks about it. And he said this, what the promises made, okay, to the seed. Continue in verse 16. He said, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Whoops. But there's only one seed, that is Christ. We all know, right? We know what the promises of Abraham is Christ, right? Is that not right? So if the promise is to one, that is Christ, something is wrong here. First he said, not to many, yet to one, that is Christ. And you know, here the word Christ is, the word used in Christ, is of Christ. In the Greek we know it's Christo. This means anointing. The Messiah. And yet, what is the Messiah? What is Christ? Christ is the anointed word. Look at it very carefully. Not to seeds us of many, but of one. To thy seed, which is Christ. Not to Isaac. To Christ. So now, if Christ is one, so where is the others? You see, the mystery here Paul is saying is that the premise was not about Isaac. Huh? And not about seeds to many, but as to only one, and that is Christ Jesus. And yet, in Christ Jesus, what happened? Who are we? Are we not members and part of Christ? Are we not? So, you see, the seed, one seed, Christ. And Jesus said, unless a grain of seed falls to the ground and die, it will not bring forth much fruits. Got it? So it was through Christ, as Paul said earlier, that we Gentiles are blessed. You understand that? The blessing of Abraham might fall upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. But here Paul used the word Christ. He didn't use the word Jesus. He used the word Christ. Because what? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Right? Logos. And the Word was made flesh. Logos. One monogene produces every one of us. You see how Paul used the word here? He didn't say to Abraham, to your seeds. No. Because see, if Abraham has a son, Isaac, and then you also have the other one, Ishmael, they are all born his seeds, am I not right? Right. And Abraham's seed of through Ishmael, there are also many. They are Arabic people out there. And Isaac, you have the children of Israel out there. And what about our Gentiles? See what I mean? That's what Paul wrote. That's why when we look in the scripture where Paul wrote, he has such a deep mystery. He says, to Abraham and his seed, not seeds, what the promises mean. But God did not say to your seeds as of many. You know, from Isaac came for the 12 tribes and all these people. And Ishmael had all the others. Of course, the promise has nothing to do with Ishmael. So Paul only mentioned, Paul mentioned it to your seed, not to seed as of many, but as of one. And thy seed, that is Christ. And to Christ alone, the petition, the water, the separate, the Jews and the Gentiles are broken down. And in the seed of Abraham, Christ, are the true descendants. So if you have the faith of Abraham, then you are children of Abraham. Verse 17 and 18 as we close. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave to Abraham by a promise. You see, Paul is telling this Galatian, this law that you are keeping, a circumcision, all this, if you are in it, you have lived by it, but you are cursed of it. Because Christ has already hung upon the cross. He had done everything for us. See, so if, as Poyer said, the law came. No, in the days of Moses, there was no law. Was there? Was there any law? No law was given. Only the ways, basically, we all know how to, not to kill people, whereas which was given in the book of Genesis, in the day of Noah, but there was no law of the Ten Commandments that the Jew had, and which came 430 years after the covenant was given. 430 years. So the law that came later, so what comes first? Law comes first or grace comes first? That's what people say, oh, we have the Old Testament, the law and the New Testament, grace. So the law comes first, grace comes after. We all, maybe we always think like that. Isn't our mind works like that? But grace was there before the law. And then grace has to come back. But when grace comes back, he brings forth faith. See? So grace was there before the law. So when the law came 430 years afterwards, cannot do away with the promise. Huh? Cannot do away with the promise. Because when God gave Abraham by a promise, he keeps it. See? So that's why, go back to verse 16. I'll close with this expression on this. Galatians 3:16. To Abraham and to seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. What? Here simply is to say that God, Yahweh, he'll be God to them in everything. So when God promised that to Abraham, all that belongs to Abraham, every promise is there. God will be everything to them all. Are we children of Abraham? If we are, is God everything to us? So, will God supply all our needs? Can we believe in it? Reference to two verses. Genesis 22:17-18.
In blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea and shore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his from enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice.
That's what it is here. That is the promise, or the promises that God gave to Abraham. Huh? That I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. And I like this verse. There's mystery that is held here. As the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed, not seeds. Do you see the word seeds there? No, just seed. Multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And of course we are. One spiritual, the other, the nation of Israel, in whom the kingdom of Christ will be on earth in the millennium because of them. But for us, we are the kingdom of God, spiritually, in Christ Jesus. And thy seed, and in thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In thy seed, who is that? Come on, Christ. In thy seed, Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So you see that when we look at Paul, after all these that God had given to him, at the age of 75, you know, and he just walked with the Lord, believing, and he will be telling the wife, Sarah, what God says, had spoken to him. And of course, when he talked, and he, you know, this the household, his servants all, they will know. And they look at Abraham as a faithful Abraham, as the Bible Paul said, faithful Abraham. You see, the household love him. His servant, man servant, woman servant, the maid of the household, they love him. Because he was so devout to the faith that God had given him. He staggered not in unbelief. Amen. You judged him from day, from morning to night. The people, the household of Abraham saw Abraham's life. Huh? In the land where they walked was all these pagans, the heathens, and nothing shaped the favor of Abraham, because he was so zealous and he was so devoted to God, and he continued believing year after year. Huh? And I don't know what goes through the mind of the household, the people in his household, what went through their mind. The maidservant, the manservant up there, when they look after his sheep and the cattle, and they probably will be talking away, you know, and they gossip away. He said, you know what, it has been how many years, 23 years now, still no, the promise that Abraham said that God would give to him, never seemed to appear. He's still 23 years now. 24 came and he said, there's nothing. And he's getting older and older and older. You know. But of course the people, I believe they respect him, they love him. And then one day, when he was 99 years, something happened. After God spoke to him, his body began to change. Sarah's body began to change. Here is the proof. And one of these days, when we believe what we believe, wouldn't you think one day we're going to be having a change? Yes. As Barbara would say the word, just a change. There will come a change in this body. And then we will know. that our faith has been watertight, that is to say. Don't struggle in unbelief. Amen? God bless every one of you. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for that blessed word. Lord, take it further. As you walk with you day to day, Lord, as you walk with you and we can, and with all these things that is around us in the world, increase our faith. And as we walk in thy word, Lord, we know we are feeding on that old corn of the land of thy word, solid food. Not just a manna for the day, but Lord, the beautiful solid meat of thy word. And only that, Lord, as we walk along with you, we can smell the sweet savor, or the smell of the scents of our Lord Jesus Christ, the rose of Sharon, the cedar of Lebanon, and drinking from the streams of Lebanon. Because, Lord, it's all that sweetness and that sweet-smelling savor and that tasty food of the land, even in Canaan. And we thank you, Father. Let your word, let the Holy Word still always be our treasure. And as we walk with you in this word, bless us all. Bless my people today, Father. I commit this in Jesus' name. Amen.